Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Dan Natkin, who's Senior Director of Residential Products with Mannington Mills. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to reach out to you and talk about the laminate category. I noticed that at the National Floor Covering Alliance meeting last week that one of your biggest areas of focus with them was laminate. We'll get to that in just a minute. A little background on you first. You're one of the, I would consider, brighter people in this flooring category. I've always enjoyed interviewing you. You have been at Mannington about 8 years, and prior to that were at Armstrong. Is that correct?
That's correct, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you as well.
All right, so laminate, you know, some people might have thought was at its maturity peak, and yet you go to the NFA meeting, and that's one of your big product pushes. So let's talk about the category and Mannington's position with it.
When you look at any consumer product category, it goes through life cycles. You know, there's a rapid growth phase, and then it reaches sort of a maturity, and then either it goes into a decline or it sort of reinvents itself and goes into a new growth phase. And that's kind of where laminate is today, and in particular for us. You know, the category began to hit a maturity phase a few years ago, and it sort of had to reinvent itself again, which we did. We came out with a series called Restoration in 2011, an upper-end series with better, crisper visuals, better embossing that ultimately helped to reinvigorate the category for us.
When Mannington sells laminate flooring, it's all made in the United States, right?
That's correct. As of 2013, 100% of our laminate is made in the USA.
Mm-hmm. And when you're giving advice to the RSAs out there who interact with the consumer, when is it right to promote a laminate product versus, say, an LVT? Since, I mean, obviously everybody knows Mannington sells all of the different product categories. So what is the right fit for the consumer for laminate?
You know, that's one of the benefits of being a multi-line manufacturer for us, because we can offer to both the retailer and the consumer the right product for the right application. You know, laminate still is the perfect product for any type of high traffic area, anywhere where you're concerned about long-term wear. It's the most scratch-resistant flooring category that we have. So when we're talking to people about busy and active households, or conversely to that, when we're talking to the builder, new home construction trade, and they're concerned about trade damage and being able to get on the floor quickly, laminate is a perfect product.
Mm-hmm. And you've got it even more realistic now because of some of the things you're able to do, where you actually can look down on the product and see graining and, you know, dimensional type of surface treatments, right?
Yeah, our embossing technology continues to get better and better and better, to the point that a lot of times your average consumer really can't tell the difference between, you know, a true hardwood and our laminate product. Heck, I give our VP of styling a hard time sometimes, because it's, once in a while I got to get down on it and feel it.
Yeah, you're talking about Joe Amato. He's certainly talented. Let's go back to the channel for a minute. One of the concerns with laminate was we were seeing this in the warehouse clubs and some of these areas where they bring it in and they make it a special item and promote it. And that has a tendency sometimes to knock the average retail sales price down. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Laminate went through an evolution and continues to do it, where the category becomes extremely hourglass-shaped from a volume perspective. There's a ton of volume at the bottom with these kind of low-priced warehouse club, like you mentioned, products that most times are not very distinctive. And then, like I talked about the evolution of the category, a clear upper end became defined, and that's where you see the thicker laminates coming in with more realistic printing technology, with more realistic embossing technology, and really provide a nice product solution to the consumer versus the cheap 89, 99 cent laminate that you'll find at a warehouse somewhere.
I'm glad you brought up those price points. You know, a lot of times Floor Focus will do statistics, and we're being told that the average price per foot wholesale is around a dollar, and yet you play it at a much higher price point, right?
We do. You know, our plant was really designed around not being one of these large ton-and-gun, 100 million square foot a year kind of plants. The plant was designed to run very nice upper-end laminate visuals. So we don't play down in that dollar kind of price point.
Now, another thing that's brought laminate to the forefront of everyone's thinking recently is this 60-minute news story with Lumber Liquidators. That's raised the eyebrow. It's gotten people tuned into the laminate category. So talk a little bit about what effect you think that news story has had on the category, both short-term and long-term.
Well, short-term, it definitely raised a lot of eyebrows out there. I mean, my phone was ringing off the hook for the better part of 10 days, requesting documentation, wanting to understand, you know, how much formaldehyde is in laminate. And we were one of the first ones out of the gate to get communication out, talking specifically about our laminates. We've been Floor Score certified since 2006. We've been NALFA certified. We're one of the founding members of NALFA. And with that brings a higher level of assurance. Yeah. And even within the news story itself, if you really listen to the news story, we can debate all day long whether or not the test methodology was right. But what they found was that all of the laminate that was made in the U.S. was found to be within compliance. Mm-hmm. It was only the laminate produced in China for that one customer that was found in the way that they tested it to be out of compliance. So short-term, did it have an impact? Probably more so on Lumber Liquidators than on us. Long-term, I don't believe there's going to be a lingering effect for U.S.-produced laminate.
There's a trade association called NALFA, and you serve a role on that, right?
I do. I'm the marketing chair for NALFA as well as the CFO.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how did NALFA react to this to help service its members?
NALFA, as an organization, became aware of the story just prior to it coming out. Our attorney was involved in discussions and began to proactively provide information about NALFA-certified laminate. Once the story came out, the president, Bill Deering, has had numerous interviews with the press talking about the benefits of NALFA certification, which include CARB certification. And on top of that, we've had press releases. We've provided information to our members to use for distribution to their customers about the NALFA certification and have continued to promote the NALFA website.
All right, so one last question. When we start talking about the maturity of the laminate category, I think there's been some effect with this recent surge in sales of LVT, but since you make both products, this would be a great question to ask. There's actually a place for both, isn't there?
There is absolutely a place for both. In my opinion, visually, LVT, so luxury vinyl tile, mm-hmm. beats laminate visuals hands down, and there's flexibility options with it that you just can't do with laminate. You can grout it. It can go in fully wet areas, and so there's some distinct advantages there. Mm-hmm. LVP, or luxury vinyl plank, tends to go more in the traditional living areas, and there's where laminate has a little bit of an advantage in that it is far more scratch resistant. It is one of the most scratch resistant flooring types available to you, other than maybe porcelain. And one of the things that we do is we extend the visuals across multiple categories, so we give the consumer the choice of what's right for their home. Are they concerned about moisture? Do they want to see subfloor telegraphing? So that there are different options for each type. The one thing that laminate, I think, still wins hands down over a lot of other flooring types is from a green perspective. When you look at laminate flooring, the better part of 70% of it is post-industrial recycled waste and sawdust. The product is bio-based. It's 97% bio-based. It's recyclable. It's got a recycled content. Contributes to superior indoor air quality, or at least NALFA certified laminate contributes to superior indoor air quality. So it's really a great product from that perspective. As a matter of fact, I just put 1,200 feet into my mom's home because she was looking for an affordable flooring type that wasn't going to scratch, and she wanted something that was going to be really durable.
And does she have a dog?
She does.
That's always a factor. That's a question to ask if you're an RSA about the animals, because animals can be tough on floors, can't they?
They absolutely can.
Yeah, Dan, well, it's great to talk to you. It's good information. You've been talking to Dan Natkin about the laminate category. He's Senior Director of Residential Products for Mannington Mills, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.